From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The two major Palestinian political parties, Hamas and Fatah, are currently in peace talks to try to resolve a long-standing conflict between them that has plagued the people of Gaza. The conflict has added to the Israeli siege of Gaza and ongoing wars. While the Hamas-Fatah talks offer some hope for peace among Palestinians, the broader struggle for reconciliation between Israel and Palestine appears to have no end in sight. Many solutions have been proposed over the years, including the so-called two-state solution. Now, my guest has another idea, a confederation of two governments that he thinks could bring about an end to the conflict. To explore that idea, Joseph Avisar traveled to the region with a film crew. And a new film about that journey is the result. It's called Surviving Peace, and it's opening in theaters. Joseph Avisar is an Israeli-born attorney based in California. He is the president of the founding committee of the Israeli-Palestinian Confederation, author of Peace, A Case for an Israeli-Palestinian Confederation. Surviving Peace is his first film. Welcome to the program, Joseph.
Yes, thank you.
So I realized it had been just over 10 years since I had interviewed you about this very idea. At the time, my show was called Uprising, and you came into the KPFK studios and you told me about this idea of the Confederation. It looks like you are very much dedicated to this idea, and in the meantime, you've gone to Israel and Palestine and made this film about it. So congratulations, it's been a long journey and you are still at it, and I commend you for that.
Well, imagine that there is a child that is lost in Los Angeles and you live in Chicago and you are convinced that you saw the child in Chicago and everyone is looking for him in Los Angeles for years and years, spending millions of dollars looking for him. But you know that you've seen him and you're convinced in your heart and in your mind that you saw the child in Chicago. What would you do? You would go to the authorities and say, I know he's in Chicago. But they don't pay attention to you. They think that you're completely mistaken. Would you give up on the child and would you say, well, sorry? So that's why I am convinced that an Israeli, and by the way, I want to correct you because this is not a confederation of two governments. These governments are not able to make peace. This is a confederation that would come about from the people of Israel and Palestine together, regardless of those two governments. Those governments, the Israeli governments, the Palestinian governments, are not able to make peace. They've proven that time and time again. So what we are saying is let's create a third independent and separate government for the people of Israel and Palestine together with the exclusive goal of making peace.
So let's talk about the film. You went there with the film crew. You talked to a number of people who fall on both sides of the issue with many conflicting views about why there continues to be violence, why there continues to be no end to the conflict in sight. Who were some of the people that you talked to? You talked to both Israeli peace activists and also, you know, hardline Zionists, right?
Correct. Yes. And they seem to be in agreement. I'm talking about the people who are in the government or were in the government. They seem to be in agreement, both on the Palestinian and the Israeli side, that the only solution is the two-state solution. But if you think about it, the two-state solution, first of all, it's been tried for over 70 years. Again and again and again, and it failed again and again and again. Not only did it fail, it caused death and destructions by the thousands for years. For some reason, they are locked into that solution. And what is it really? If we think about it, what is a two-state solution? It's a plan to segregate people based on their national identity, based on their religion. And we in the United States, we find this to be an anathema to segregate people who live together. They live together right now. But for some reason, we think that for the people of Israel and Palestine, that's the solution. Well, how could there be a solution? They want to live together. They do live together. So I found it astonishing that people are still putting the word solution after the two states. Now, the Confederation is not the exclusive system. We're saying to the Israeli and the Palestinian government, fine, go ahead and try to continue to do it. But since you failed for so many years, why should we continue to make war with each other? Let's try to find a peace, a system for peace. And what the Confederation does, it expands the view of the government. It expands democracy to include the Palestinians and Israelis. Because right now, the Israeli people are under the Israeli democratic tent. The Palestinian people are under their government tent, but there is no big enough tent to hold both people. And that's what we are creating. We are saying, let's create a big enough tent for both people, while at the same time, you know, the Israelis and the Palestinians have concerns, and they have legitimate concerns. The Palestinians want to get rid of the occupation, and they want to deal with the Palestinian refugee, which are very legitimate concerns. The Israelis, they want to have a homeland and a security for the Jewish people. That's a very legitimate concern in light of the fact that we had a Holocaust. But there could be a system, could be a formula to accommodate everyone. It doesn't mean that we have to be in war with each other forever.
So let's actually watch the trailer for your documentary, Surviving Peace. This film is in theaters. It's going to be coming out in Los Angeles theaters very soon. And my guest, Joseph Avisar, is the filmmaker. Here is the trailer for Surviving Peace.
When the Israeli occupation came to my hometown, Jericho, I was 12 years old.
Right.
I'm 58 now.
Right.
I'm a grandfather of six.
You're building the wall. If the Israelis need peace, don't build the wall.
Well, it's not preventive to save all of the Israeli people.
And I want to back in my home, in my village.
We do live in hostility.
And we will continue until it
yes,
happens.
Unfortunately, yes.
They're your neighbors, and they're neighbors to stay.
We look at them that we can live forever peacefully. It's a mistake.
Isolation is what we call in Hebrew a matkon. It's a recipe for disaster, and will lure more and more Palestinians to hate Israel.
At some point, there's going to be a collapse.
It's about time to transform the conflict from two collectives colliding into each other to start the conversation.
The only way to live normally is peace.
I want a Jewish state.
And what does it mean to be a Jewish state?
Well, that's a good question.
See me. Your mistake is you don't see me.
Do you see a possibility of peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians without the creation of the two states?
No.
Why do you not ask this question about other nations?
אם אנחנו נמשיך נחשוב על העבר, אנחנו לא יכולים להתקדם. לא נגיע לכלום ולא נתקדם.
You can take a leaf out of the book of South Africa. It wasn't that the government was dismantled, but it was transformed into another kind of a system.
It's a very interesting idea.
We have to create a precedent.
How do you set up your districts and get them to vote?
I mean, the idea is interesting, but totally rejected by me.
It won't work. I'm telling you, it won't work.
And that's the trailer of the new documentary Surviving Peace, made by my guest Joseph Avisar. It features interviews with people like Uri Avneri, Saab Erekat, Jeff Halper, and many, many others. Joseph, you presented your idea of this confederation to a number of experts, many of whom say they're committed to peace, but you were received by a lot of skepticism. Some people thought, well, it was a great idea, except it would just never work practically speaking. Tell us about the responses that you got?
Well, the response that I got is that the way I see it is that they are concerned about identity. And is peace a danger to identity? So you can see in the movie, we basically, one of the theme in the movie that we presented is, while we are waiting for the two state to become, why can't we try to make peace by other methods? And they all say, no, we need to put the horse before the wagon. That's in their mind, that the horse is the two state. We need to have that first. And I try to use the metaphor of, well, try to eat well and exercise while we are waiting for the surgery. And the response was almost unanimous from all sides. No. We need to have the two state first. And I think I came to realize that the war on both sides, the Israelis and the Palestinians, is part of their identity. And they don't want to get rid of the war because they're afraid that it will harm their identity. That's the feeling I got.
So let me just bring this up. One of the things that somebody in your film said, I'm not sure who it was, an Israeli person who said that if you had a one state that was democratic, you would have the Israeli identity deeply diluted. Suddenly 50% of your country would be Palestinian, and then the whole idea of a Jewish state would no longer be. But that is, of course, precisely, you know, Palestinians do live under a democratic state in Israel, Arab Israelis, we call them. But they are a minority, and that seems to be what works fine. On the other hand, you have Palestinians in the West Bank, in Gaza, who want justice, right? They want to be able to return to their homelands, and they might say, if we get peace without justice, it's meaningless. Those are really important questions, no matter where you fall on the side of the conflict.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the question is, who could deliver justice to the Palestinian people? And the answer is not the Palestinian government, and not the Israeli government. They haven't even touched the issue of the refugees. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about justice. The Palestinian government haven't touched that for 70 years. The Israeli government hasn't touched that. And that's one of the benefits of having a confederation, because the confederation is not a nationalistic government. It's not representing the Israeli or the Palestinian. It represents both. So its interest is to solve the issue. So the confederation will be the only entity that will be able to deliver justice to the Palestinians. And that's the Palestinian refugees and the Palestinians who live under occupation. It's not the Israeli government. It's not the Palestinian government.
How would a confederation deliver justice to Palestinian refugees? Let's go through this. Let's spell it out.
Sure. If we have 300 parliament members that are Israelis and Palestinians, they could come up with a legislation, with a formula to allow certain number of Palestinians. I mean, don't forget, we have... This happens almost 70 years ago, that most refugees were forced out. So a combined, a mutual agreement by Israeli and Palestinian parliament members in a confederation, which is a separate government from the Israeli and Palestinian government, they could reach an agreement to allow a certain number, and this is just my suggestion, it's not exactly how it will come up, but they could come up with a formula to allow a certain number of refugees to return, and financial compensation to all of the refugees. And then they will present it to the Israeli government and to the Palestinian government and to governments around the world. And they will say, hey, we reached an agreement. We reached an agreement that a certain number of refugees will be allowed to return, and all of them will be compensated. It will be up to the Israeli and the Palestinian government to say, no, we don't want it. Now, the Palestinian refugees, they may reject it. I agree, they could reject it. However, the only body that can deal with that issue without having difficulties with their people is the Israeli-Palestinian Confederation, because it's not a nationalistic, it's not Israeli, it's not Palestinian. So they can openly discuss that. Remember, the Israeli government and the Palestinian government, they ignore it. It doesn't exist.
Is it already in place, or is it getting traction? And I'm assuming the whole point of your film is to help it get more traction?
Yes, it's not getting traction. It's not getting traction. The point of the movie is to get traction, is to get people, reasonable people. I believe there is 10, 20, maybe 40% of Israelis and Palestinians that are very sophisticated, very smart. They understand that their government is not able to make peace. They understand that there is not going to be winners. There's going to be not going to be losers in this war, because they live together. This is like almost 7 million Israelis, 7 million Palestinians, literally living together. How could there be a victory? So those smart Israelis and smart Palestinians will understand. Why should they have their wives, their husbands, their children, their grandchildren get killed when there is no victory? There is no goal here. So I am hoping to address reasonable people, rational people, people who would be honest enough to deal with this issue on the merit. And I consider one of them. And to say, okay, let's give it a thought, especially in light of those governments failing to give peace. I mean, not only did they not give peace, they made things substantially worse than what it was 7 years ago. You know, Arabs and Jews have lived together in peace for thousands of years. For thousands of years. Why can't we live in peace now? We are the same people. Most Israelis are of Arab descent. A substantial number of Israelis, probably 80% of Arab descent. They came from Arabic speaking, including my family. My parents did not, my dad spoke Hebrew, my mother spoke very little Hebrew. My grandparents spoke only Arabic. Between them, they spoke Arabic. My dad, his name is Abu Abraham.
Really?
His real, you know, yeah. All the Iraqi, their name is Abu, and it's a name of honor.
Yeah.
It's after your first son. They're really Arabs. And why should we be fighting each other? We can, I mean, there was a lot of injustice done, no question about it. But I think that the Confederation is the only system that is being proposed right now that can honestly deal with the injustice that is done and create peace, not only create peace, but also, I mean, peace is really the tip of the iceberg. They can make the Israelis and the Palestinians grow tremendously into the future together. You know, in Hebrew, we have a say, Tovim Ashnaim Min Echad, which means the two of us, you and I, can accomplish a lot more then if you go at it yourself or I go at it myself, you have certain qualities that I don't have. I have certain qualities that you don't have. And if we combine our forces, we can do a lot more together than you by yourself or I by myself. The same thing applies to the Israelis and the Palestinians. Together, under one democracy, protecting the interest of each, we can accomplish a lot more. Why continue with this silliness?
Joseph, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. The film opens in Los Angeles October 13th at the Lemley Theaters, and people can find out, no matter where they live, if there are screenings near them, at the website survivingpeace.com. Well, good luck to you, Joseph, and thanks so much for spending this time.
Thank you so much, Sonala.
My guest is Joseph Avisar. He's an Israeli-born attorney based in California, president of the founding committee of the Israeli-Palestinian Confederation, author of Peace, A Case for an Israeli-Palestinian Confederation. We've been discussing his new documentary, Surviving Peace. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.